Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, any place, make snack time playtime with Funnables fruit snacks. Have fun, eat it too. Visit funnablesnacks.com to shop now.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now, driving at your desk, maybe at the gym, but you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach and see a rocket launch or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
This is a Piccolo podcast production.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our wrap from day one from Ahmedabad. And what a day from Usman Khawaja, who brought up his 14th test century. I'll eventually speak properly in this podcast. I'm Andrew Mensel. I'm joined by Paul Dennett. Paul, good day for the Aussies.
In the end, yes. I had my nerves partway through. I was getting a bit frustrated, a bit feisty. When Smith and Hanscom got out, but that last partnership settled me down. Wonderful effort from Khawaja. I think Australia 4 for 255. It looks like they are on top, but I think there's a long way to go in this match. What a great statement. Of course there is. We're only 20% of the way through, but I think that it reminds me of some of the pitches that I've seen in many times over the years in India, where maybe even 400 in the first innings isn't enough. And if Australia were to get something like that, India could sweep past it. And then looking a long way ahead, the third innings of the match could become the decisive innings where Australia could have not much to play for and the pitch then starting to be spinning. So I'm still a bit nervous and a bit more pessimistic than you might have thought I'd be.
Yeah, look, I get that sentiment because that is my fear too. So it's really important that Australia goes on with it tomorrow and makes this start count. For those watching on YouTube, we don't have our cameras on tonight, but no one's ever complained about not seeing our faces before. So that's where our podcast is so successful. All right, so let's go back to the beginning of the day. No changes for the Aussie 11, but for the Indians, they swapped in Mohammad Shami for Siraj, who played in the last match, and Yadav kept his spot. So looks like some kind of rotation. What do you think of that change, Paul?
I think a little bit of rotation. They're all very decent fast bowlers. So I know that the Indian fast bowlers have done a lot better than the Aussies during this series, but I still can't help but feel that the real threat comes from the spinners, albeit the crucial wicket of Labuschagne was taken by Shami, and he also got the wicket of Hanscom today. But I'm so focused on their spinners. But other than that, before the game, it was a pretty normal start to a day of cricket. They tossed the coin and went out. Nothing else extraordinary happened?
Yeah, it was just like any other game of cricket. Reminded me of a Shield match, the sort of atmosphere. let's go back to the beginning of play. You had Anthony Albanese, the Australian Prime Minister, and Modi, the Indian Prime Minister. embracing their teams as they sung the national anthem. I mean, that's just one of the craziest things I've ever seen. Can you imagine, like, before the Boxing Day test, you had Albo out in the middle, you know, embracing Cummins, or like Albo embracing Smith today. It was just one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was a little bit. To be honest, I didn't actually tune in for the before play stuff because I just thought, oh, I want to watch the cricket. I don't want to watch all that other stuff. But I've seen some of the highlights and read some of it. And I, as I said in our show the other day, I am in two minds about it. On number one, I love that banner of 75 years of friendship through cricket, Australia and India, with all the ex-players on there. I really like that. I think that the Australia-India rivalry in cricket is one of the best sporting rivalries in the world. I've over the years got to know so many people from India. I've enjoyed their company. I think that our two nations, it's great that we are going to sort of forge closer ties together. I'm not overly happy with necessarily all of the pageantry and the showmanship that went on with regards to sort of it was like a day of celebrating Narendra Modi as well. But I think that on the whole, it was an interesting little beginning to the day's play, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cummins was pretty happy not to be there for that national anthem. Otherwise, he'd be embracing Albo. So, look, just a very bizarre start. And, you know, all this talk of breaking the world record for the biggest cricket crowd. I mean, I don't know. It seemed like there was no one there after the first hour.
Yeah, I kind of expected that was partially going to happen, that there was going to be a lot there right at the start. And the heat did play a factor as well, that I think there were probably at stages more there than they looked like, because people were retreating back into the bowels of the stadium to get away from the heat. But yes, I haven't seen an official crowd figure. I don't know if we're going to get one, but it certainly seemed as though it was more in the order of, I don't know, at its peak, it might have been 60 or 70,000, but even that, it didn't seem to peak for very long. But certainly a very, very healthy crowd, but yeah, not a world record.
Yeah, well short of the 110,000 predicted. I mean, it just continues this tour of a lot of spin on and off the field. All right, let's get into the cricket. So, you know, it was a crazy sort of first half an hour to an hour. You had the ball moving around and swinging around. You had the Indian keeper, Bharat, having an absolute shocker. And Travis Head went at the Indian attack. It was a sort of sloppy first hour.
Yeah. As I always say, people were talking about having KL Rahul in the side as the keeper. So, no, you've got to have the specialist keeper. And he's kept okay up to now. But that, the catch that he dropped off Head was pretty straightforward. It did move a little bit, but he really should have caught it. And, yeah, they were getting some swing but spraying it around. And Australia looked like they were going to really move on top with Head attacking. It was a bitter, bitter blow when Head played a somewhat injudicious shot against Ashwin. But I think it was there to be hit. He just didn't time it and managed to just sort of pop it down to mid on. And that was a pretty crucial moment in the day's play, because Head was scoring so quickly. And, you know, he finished up with 32 from 44. Had he stayed there and played a substantial innings, then I think the scoreboard would look very different. Again, I'm stating the obvious. It is quite late.
Well, Travis Head was dropped on 7 off the bowling of Yadav by Bharat, a pretty simple catch. And when, you know, Khawaja and Head ended up putting on 61 for the first wicket, so that was a crucial drop. You're right. But I sort of think Head lives and dies by the sword. So, yeah, I actually thought, you know, the Indian spinners bowled really well today. I thought Ashwin, Jadeja and Patel were exceptional. As soon as the Australians made a mistake, they were out. And that's one reason I think the scoring slowed down after that first hour, because I just think they bowled well.
Yes, I also think that I am a bit critical of the approach of Labuschagne and Smith. Khawaja finished up with a strike rate of 41, batted the day out, 104 not out off 251 balls. Fantastic innings. You would say, well, that's quite slow, so there's nothing wrong with batting slowly. But I think that Smith, 38 off 135, a strike rate of 28, I don't think that was his – I don't think he was playing the percentages, quite frankly. I think that the chances of him – scoring a century. I mean, at that rate, he was going to have to face, 280 balls in order to score 100. I think that he needed a little bit of McCullum in his ear before going out and say, back yourself and play with more aggression. And so I think that that's to me, the big disappointment of the day was the output of our two best players, 41 off 155 balls between them and both out. And both of them getting bowled by, that's probably the fourth time that Labuschagne has been bowled in this tour by a ball that kept low. It didn't keep enormously low, but it kept a little bit low. Khawaja was noticeably coming forward to balls that otherwise he might have been going back to. And Smith was just an insipid shot. And I think he was suitably angry with himself when he just kind of played a lax defensive shot against one of the few balls in the whole day that really turned, and Jadeja went straight through him. At that point, I was thinking, oh, don't tell me we have squandered this enormous opportunity.
Yeah, take your point. So Marnus was bowled by Shami for three, and that was in the first session. So Australia went to lunch two down, and then Smith and Khawaja did bat throughout the second session. I think they scored about 75 runs in that second session. So, you know, I don't think it was diabolically slow. And I guess, you know, my pushback is I actually do think it's an actual valid tactic to wear a good attack out. Look, as I said, I think the spinners bowled well. So I think keeping everybody out there all day and not getting too many wickets allowed, well, especially Cameron Green, to really cash in on that last hour. So, look, I know Smith will be disappointed he didn't make a big score. He probably did go a little slow, but I think he could have caught up in that last hour. So I'm going to give him a pass mark because, you know, Cameron Green really profited from, you know, I thought India got sloppy in that last hour.
Yeah, I'm not, Smith ultimately did get 38, and you're right. He soaked up 135 balls that India had to endure. I think it was in the mid-30s, the temperature. So it was definitely hot. I just think that had he played with a more aggressive mindset, he might still be there. I think that by being that defensive, he actually paradoxically made himself more likely to get out. I don't think he would have got out to that ball if he had been intending to try to score more than he was. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Mm. And just back on Marnus, he's had a frustrating tour. He's spent quite a bit of time out in the middle without ever really getting the reward. So, you know, I think his Indian experience, he's probably learnt a lot.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, very few people have had successful times. We're into the fourth test match, and that's just the second century of either side, Khawaja, along with Rohit Sharma's century from, I think it was the first test match. So it hasn't been easy for the batters.
Peter Hanscom came out after Smith and made a breezy 17 off 27 balls. But look, I've got a couple of cricket-loving friends who just don't think he has the technique for test cricket. And they sent me a message when he got out, sort of, I think he was sort of playing back to a full ball and got bowled by Shami. I like Hanscom. I think the talk around his technique is overplayed. But what do you think?
Well, I don't think you can say he hasn't got a technique for test cricket, given that he averages 38 in test cricket, which is more than Mike Atherton. You know, that's an okay record. I think that it did look strange, though, that he was so far back. And it almost looked, I don't know, I haven't been paying attention to it enough throughout the rest of the tour, but it looked like he'd even made a change to go further back to the quicks, that he was standing almost to the point where if he'd stood much further back, he would have been in danger of hitting his own wickets. And he just looked like a candidate that he was going to get either bowled or LBW to a Yorker. And that's what happened. So it was a bit, it wasn't quite a Yorker, but it was strange. Given that Khawaja at the other end, as I said, was coming forward, really, really ostentatiously coming forward, why Hanscom thought that camping on the back foot on that pitch that was keeping low was the right thing to do, I don't know.
Yeah, so I think that is a slight chink in his armour. So he gets out and the score is 170 for four. And at this point, You know, I think the match here is really in the balance, because if Green or Khawaja goes here and opens up Carey and, you know, the tail that hasn't performed well all tour, you know, maybe Australia gets 220, 230 and then we're well behind in the game. But then Green and Khawaja put on 86 runs off 116 balls. Green is not out 49 off 64 balls with 8 fours, some terrific stroke play in that last hour. Khawaja 104 not out off 251 balls. I mean, let's start with Green. That was a really good innings.
I had the exact same feeling as you when he came out. It was like, the game is in the balance. And I remember as he walked out thinking, I'm really happy that it's Cameron Green coming out. I actually sent out a tweet. I wrote, time for a century from Green. Time for a century from Green. Australia in danger of squandering this opportunity. Khawaja, a magnificent exception. And I was just thinking, Green is a fabulous player. I really rate him highly. He's shown plenty of potential at test level, hasn't quite fulfilled on it yet. This is his opportunity to really do something special. And I was so pleased that he didn't play defensively. You know, I've seen some of the innings that he's played at test level where he's been ridiculously defensive, especially when you see what he can do at T20 level where he's destructive beyond belief. So He played with judicious aggression. There was a period there where he went into his shell a little bit when the spinners were going well against him. But then he played all those crisp shots. The only thing where people will talk about that he looked a little bit awkward at times with the short ball. He wore one from Shami. And then the key moment was one where he sparred at one, sort of hit the shoulder of the bat, and the three fielders all converged, couldn't get to it. Another day, that would have been out court. It's the sort of thing that cricketers are so kind of, I don't know, it's like this instinctive reaction that he'll probably get a bouncer barrage for the rest of his career now, because they have this kind of feeling of, oh, you show some sort of weakness against the short ball and there's this kind of macho masculinity that they've got to say, well, we're going to test him out forevermore. I think he'd be quite happy with that. He's 6'8". I don't think he's got a problem against the short ball. And I think that he played a few good pull shots as well. So a bit like what they did to Steve Waugh, but his whole career, they bowled too short to him because of the perceived weakness. So if they want to do that to him, then so be it. But yeah, it was a fabulous innings. It was everything I dreamt of and more. And yeah, we need plenty more out of him and Khawaja tomorrow though.
Yeah, on the short stuff, it takes a lot of effort to get it up around his head height. Yeah. So you're right, they might not persist with that. One thing I thought was noticeable was, you know, because he's got that big stride forward, he was kind of messing with the spinner's length, and he was actually starting to get to a lot of balls on the half volley, which, you know, you don't often see against Jadeja and Ashwin in particular. So exceptional stuff. So he's played 19 tests. He's made 6 half centuries. So, look, I see where you're coming from. You know, it'd be great if he can convert this into 3 figures. Because I think once it could open the floodgates.
There is something a little bit special or magical about him that even in this innings, a couple of those shots that he just, one of them was I think it was off Ashwin. Wasn't quite a half volley. He just came forward to an absolutely spanked it through extra cover for 4. And I think Ashwin even thought, God, that's a pretty good shot. There's just, you know, Steve Waugh had that a bit as well, where from nowhere, he'd just play a shot that you just think, oh, God, that was good. Philip Hughes had it as well. And you look at it, think there's something, you know, I've said it before, the potential upside for Cameron Green as a test batsman is really, really high, and more so than anyone else I can think of around his age in Australia. So, I'm really excited. I enjoyed his innings immensely this evening.
I'll probably get out first ball tomorrow. Let's spend a bit of time on Usman Khawaja, because this was just a very special moment. I mean, he's always been perceived as being very weak against spin bowling, and now it's his first century in India, his first century against India, it's his 14th test century. You know, he spoke afterwards about carrying the drinks on the last 2 tours, and he said, you know, he wanted to dig in and make them earn his wicket. And I mean, this renaissance since coming back into the side in January 2022 is quite something. And I saw they put up on the coverage that he's the leading run scorer in test cricket since he's come back into the side then. And I mean, the superlative, you could go on for hours, but just this is a real landmark moment in his career.
Yeah, and I think he'd actually already dispensed with the thought, the notion that he couldn't handle spin, that innings he played in Pakistan, in the UAE a few years ago. And I know that the UAE is not as spin friendly as some places, but it was the second innings when the ball really was spinning. He really hasn't had any opportunities in India much before this. So I think that the exciting thing is that, as he showed earlier on in the year, that he has now kind of hoisted his average. It was 46.39 before this match. Depending on what he ends up getting out for, it'll end up being probably around about that 47 mark. He's right on the cusp of some very, very significant names, and he's taken himself from having a handy test record to having a test record that is not far away from knocking on the door of being a great test record. And it's just been a scintillating 15 months since he came back into the side. So yeah, really happy for him. And you know, it was a valuable innings. I think that if Australia, is still a very big if, can get away with it, a two-all result in this series, it will be one of the most significant achievements that Australia has made in a long time. And so this innings will go down as an absolutely vital one, if that's to be the case.
Yeah, I think that's his sixth century since coming back into the side, because he made two in Sydney, two in Pakistan, one in Sydney this year, and now this one. I think that's right. Have I missed one? Sorry to put you on the spot, but I mean, if that's six, you know, he had say eight when he was recalled, you know, once you get up to, you know, 14 test centuries, as you say, that's a pretty impressive CV.
Yeah. I was just thinking to myself that if it had been my, younger self answering that question, I would have been able to know straight away, because I've watched every innings he's played. The memory isn't what it once was.
So fantastic day for Australia. They're 4 for 255. They really need to go on with it tomorrow morning and make India chase, I think, at least 400. What did you think of the pitch? Because I thought it was a good cricket wicket. It seemed to have a bit of spice for the quicks, a bit more bounce and pace than we've seen in the rest of the series. And I think Stark and Green could do a bit of damage with that new ball. What do you think?
I'm still reserving judgment, because I think that you've got to see how it goes throughout the whole 5 days. I think that there was a long period of attritional cricket, but as I said, I think that to a degree that was the mindset of the Australians somewhat. So, you know, if it was the sort of pitch where they had tried to score and couldn't and therefore went into their shells, that'd be one thing. But I think that the fact that Head and Green were able to score reasonably quickly means that I suppose what I'm trying to say is it was disappointing in some regards that for such a large crowd that we saw maybe the most attritional day of the series to date, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a terrible pitch. As let's see how it unfolds throughout the rest of the match. I think I would have liked even a little bit more bounce and carry. I think that's what it would have probably elevated it. But, yeah, so far the jury's out. But I think that it's the sort of day that some people profess to say, oh, I love that sort of attritional day of test cricket. But I don't mind those sorts of days, but I think that I'm still always thinking about what does the average fan like, and I think a lot of average fans would have turned off halfway through today.
Yeah, there was a lot of conventional swing in that first hour. So I think if Stark gets the ball to go in those conditions, he could take a few early. All right, let's jump into the YouTube comments. Greece Kemp, Cameron Green's bowling may be important. I agree with that. His bounce on that pitch could be a handful.
Definitely. Very good point. Very good point.
Kumar, pathetic pitch. Win the toss, win the match, game. I don't think so. I think India, as you say, we've got to judge it after the India bats, because they might make it look easy and we'll sort of realise maybe Australia wasn't aggressive enough.
Yeah, and it does have that sort of feature to it where if Australia were to get 450 and you'd sort of think, oh, well, that's it, they're secure. I've seen it before where India could bat and get 550 and all of a sudden Australia's coming out to bat late on day four at the start of their second innings with almost nothing to play for, and suddenly the pitch is starting to turn. So, yes, at the moment it's a great toss to win, but sometimes it can be turned on its head in these sorts of wickets. By the way, you're right, 6 centuries since his return in Sydney.
Now, Monty Francis, do you think that if Australia had played practice games and selected Head in the first game, we would have won the series, Francis writes? It's a good question, Paul. What do you think of that hypothetical?
It is a good question. I think that... I think that if we'd had practice games beforehand, I think that would have helped. And I think that Head not being in the first test was probably a mistake. I think though that the margin of victory in the end that India had in those first two matches was enough such that they still would have won those.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I just think we kind of stuffed up the first two test matches. Jared Roberts, Australia should have never picked 3 spinners on this deck. Boland would have had a field day on a day 3 pitch. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a good point in that Boland may well have been pretty effective on this. I suppose hopefully if Boland would have been effective, then Cameron Green will be effective as well. So it's a difficult one.
It is. I like the fact that we went with 3 spinners. I think they've done so well all tour. And I think especially having won the toss, we're in a good position. I guess it may have been different if we'd lost the toss and been bowling today. But, we're in a good position, bowling last on a pitch that hopefully will take more spin. So, yeah, I think I bashed the selectors a lot this tour, but I think they did the right thing sticking with the winning 11.
My only concern with that is, again, that the tail headed by the 3 spinners is, not very strong with the bat. And I think that's why I look at this total and think, gosh, we're looking pretty good at 4 for 250 odd. But we've got Carey and Stark. And then maybe it is the sort of pitch that Lyon can score a few runs. And I think Murphy might be a better batter than what he's shown so far. But I'd love to see a little bit of more output from the tail than what we've got so far.
So I guess, Paul, to wrap things up, would you say it was Australia's day?
Yes. And I partially that's because I have a feeling that if we'd lost the toss, that it could have been quite ugly. They might have been away and bolted from us. So, yeah, I'm happy. I was nervous about the way that I thought potentially we were going to squander it, but that last partnership between Green and Khawaja, and yeah, I agree to an extent, the work done by Smith did make that easier. I mean, it was noticeable that the commentators were talking about it, that Yadav was dropping off in pace towards the end. When they took the new ball, Green started spanking them around a bit. I think that some of the fatigue was definitely evident there. I'll just add, while I've been looking at this, that Khawaja's average is now 47.5, which if you minimise it to say 50 innings or more for Australians, that's the 15th best of all time. He's above Laurie, Simpson, Hassett and Dean Jones and Arthur Morris. This innings has pushed him above all of those four, just below Gilchrist. So he's in very, very esteemed company.
Speaking of esteemed company, Steve Smith moved into the top 20 run scorers in Test cricket history today, and he's the only one to have an average over 59.
Yeah, I saw that as he came out to bat, that his average had dropped below 60 again, which, I'm never overly happy with the world when his average is not in the 60s. I think that's where it should be. Another reflection of how difficult it's been for batters in this series. I actually caught a little bit of the Fox coverage during the lunch break, and Mark Waugh and Brad Haddin were both talking about something that you'd actually mentioned. How you mentioned that Smith in one of the press conferences, or maybe a couple of the press conferences, had in your sort of mind quite significantly not indicated that he thought he'd be playing for a long time into the future. Apparently he's talked about it again in one of the press conferences, and Mark Waugh was even saying it wouldn't surprise him if he decided to retire much, much sooner than people think. And Haddin sort of allowed that would be a possibility as well. Brendan Julian thought that they were both a bit away with the fairies. I hope that's not the case. And I think that he'd be absolutely mad to want to put it away. But I mean, I'm not in his shoes. I don't know what he's going through. But you know, I'm banking on Smith being in there in the Australian side for several years to come. But it was interesting that they said the same thing as you'd said.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I mentioned it in our podcast that we recorded with Jaleesa, but Smith was asked whether he thought he would go back to India and play another test series. And he sort of said it was unlikely that he'd be back in 4 years. He didn't rule it out completely. He said day by day, but then he said unlikely though, which is actually quite a big statement. And look, I'm just going to throw in there that I think if he was test captain, he'd be around for longer. That's my opinion.
Maybe, but I don't know. I still think I reckon he will be there in another one. Hopefully it is. Is it 4 years that we're going back? It was 5 years since the last one. Sorry, 6 years since the last one, wasn't it? But I think that we're due much more promptly this time around.
Yes, and there'll be five test series after this one. So that is a delightful prospect. Well, Paul, thanks for joining me to wrap up day one of the fourth test and the final test of the Border Gavaskar series. We've recorded this live on YouTube and it's released on all podcast apps. So if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, do it. We'll be back to wrap up day two. I've been Menes and I've been joined by Paul Dennett.
See you, everyone.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving at your desk, maybe at the gym, but you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach and see a rocket launch or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.